Okay, we ready? Good. Okay, so wallet's being handed out. So I actually, yesterday, 2 days ago maybe, not sure, I got a WhatsApp from Lori Novick, who, does anyone know the Diracha website? You ever checked it out? If you haven't, you should. Do you know what it is? It's run out of McDonald's, yes. It's whatever. It's organized by. It's run by Lori Novick, who is a U.S. halacha, lives in Efrat, just a little bit down the road from me, and it deals with issues of halachic issues for women, written by women. But they also have a question and answer a section, and someone just wrote in to ask about. What bracha you make when you have a girl. So we had already started talking about it, so I sent over the makarot. So this is a question that people are asking, not just me. What I want to do today is move to the modern halacha. So what I've given you is two things. One is, on the makarot sheet, is some of the classic material in the last, let's say, 200 years. And then that I want to read through, and then we'll read through part of this is part of an article, much of which I've based myself on, by Ron Khoury, who we did a summer program together many years ago, and he had just written this article, which is how I first knew about it. And I want to survey the modern psak. So if you remember last week we spoke about how the classic Gemara says that you make the bracha of atov emetiv if you have a son. But it's not clear what the halacha would be if you had a daughter. And we said that you could look at this Gemara in different ways. Right? One way would be to look at it and claim that it means specifically son. Is it better if I bring it closer? It's not on? Really?
Ready to pair.
Does it work now?
Ready to pair.
Yes, now? Yes. Okay. So we noted that one way of reading Gemara is to mean that it... Well, actually, one way to read Gemara just means child. The second way is it means son, but I guess all of the other extreme, it means son, and only son, because only having a son is that level of joy. Or it means son, not for objective reasons, but for socially dependent reasons, but because in the time of the Gemara, most people felt more joy when they had sons and when they had daughters. And we noted that in order to figure out which is more likely, you have to get a perspective in Chazal. And we saw many, many Gemara where there shows a preference for boys over girls. Most of them can be read easily as being socially dependent, and being about dowries and things like that. In some of them, there seems to be a dispute. Some who value them equally, some who prefer girls. I mean, some where it's a little bit harder and might be read as more fundamental. I mean, that may be the first step in the theoretical background. And with that, we move into the modern psak, where, as we said, the question of what we do really is, in the sense, very much a modern one, because the question of whether you choose to read the Gemara as an objective statement or as a sociologically dependent one, and if you read it as socially dependent, do you think it might change? And if you find people who actually relate to their sons and daughters equally, will that change it? Is that something we should encourage or at least embrace? That is, in many ways, a modern question. So what I want to do is do a survey and keep an eye towards those broader methodological issues. Because we started a bit late, we'll have to move a bit quickly, but hopefully we'll get through it. So the Aruch HaShulchan, writing about 100 years ago, weighs in on this question. Rabbi Yechiel Michel Epstein, one of the main 20th century commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, he writes, Yalda ishto zachar mevarei chato v'ametiv. Shizu tovalo v'gam tovalo ishto shigam hiratona yoter bezachar. You make hatov v'meitiv because you're happy, your wife is happy, and she also prefers a boy. V'ein chiluk benayav b'shat leidah shevir acher v'yelo shmuah whether you were there for the birth or you just heard about it, mevarech, you make the bracha when you find out that you had the son. V'gam hi chayevet levarech atov amitiv, and the mother as well. Aval, bileidat nekeva ein mevarchin. When you have a daughter, you do not make the blessing. Why? Lefi she'ein baze simcha kol kach kivizachar. Because it's not as joyous as when you have a son. Ve'ein chiluk ben kiyem piriyah v'rivya lo kiyem. V'gam ein chiluk ben jemes mechim al yidei alachar emes mechim bilibam. It doesn't matter whether or not you fulfill the mitzvah of procreation yet. And it doesn't matter how happy you are in terms of the birth of your son. So, the Aruch HaShulchan, which position does he seem to weigh in? He's already in the 20th century. So what does he seem to say? Right, he says it's only boys. Does he say that as an objective or a socially dependent statement? Not 100% clear, but he seems to say it absolutely. If you look at the Eshel Avram of Buchach, in number 2, he weighs in on why this is true. He says, Mashalo tiknu shum bracha leidat bat. Why is there no blessing at all for the birth of a daughter? Even if your first child is a daughter, which is a good sign according to Chazal, and it's necessary for the fulfillment of your biblical mitzvah of procreation, you can't do that without a daughter or bat. No, al kol panim, ki meiriyah shel iburin tosefet chidush tova rak beben. Here's his theory. The bracha v'tova meitiv is set on good news. Once a woman is pregnant, so you know you're having a child. So having the child is not new. You knew you were going to have a child. But you didn't know whether it was going to be a boy or a girl. And people are happier for boys. So then you get that added bit of good news, and that's why you make the bracha. You don't make the bracha on that first knowledge you're going to have a child. There's no set time when you find out that you're pregnant, before pregnancy tests. Some people think they're pregnant and they're not. And most children will survive, and therefore, having the child you knew was going to happen was likely to happen once your wife was pregnant. Now, there's a lot of chidushim here in the Eshel Avram. It's very odd, because first of all, it's not true, childbirth is dangerous. There does seem to be added good news when you have a child, even if you knew that your wife was expecting. But his claim is that the bracha is made not on the knowledge of having a child, but on the added joy of having a boy, because you knew you were going to have a child, and that only comes from a boy. Right? So again, the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Avram of Buchach, both of them take the fundamental position, it's only boys. The Netziv in the Merome Saden 3, writing a little bit more than that, about 150 years ago, he says, I would think, midita b'mishnah al kelim chadashim mivarech yesh lomod l'charad mishnah lo bat shmivarech shechayanu. You would think that even if you don't make atov and meitiv, you do make shechayanu, because you make shechayanu pretty much anything happy. You buy a new suit, you buy a new dress, you make shechayanu, you buy a new car, you say shechayanu, you buy a new house, you get shechayanu. You have a new fruit, you say shechayanu. It's no worse than getting a servant. That's a great statement, because what your children do, you also get their, right? If they work, you also get it, at least with their children. But he said, I haven't seen this. And he says, why not? It could be the reason you don't make Shecheyanu, or Hatov v'meitiv is, because having a daughter isn't so great, as we know from the Agadah. So finally, you get someone who actually weighs in and says, this is only girl, it's only boys, and the reason is, because it's better to have boys. Right? And he's so convinced of that that he thinks not only do you not make Atov HaMeitiv, you don't even make Shecheyanu, which is a bracha you make on pretty much any joyous occasion. Right? A new fruit, a new clothing, new cars, etc. The Mishnah Berurah we saw last week already had said that you don't make Atov HaMeitiv, but what did he take as a given? You say Shecheyanu. Why does he say you say Shecheyanu? So let's actually do this in order. Look at 5. He bases himself on the Rashba. There's a halacha that you might not know. I mentioned it last week, but you might have forgotten it because most of you don't do it. Which is that if you see a friend for the first time in 30 days, you say Shecheyanu. You see a friend for the first time in 12 months, you say Mechaye HaMeitim. Right? That he's brought the dead back to life. So the Rashba writes, "Ulenyan shamart beroich haveiro miyesh achirim shenayanim gam hem biriyato mevarich atov vameitiv kederach shemerech biyudag shamim." What if it's not just you, but normally atov vameitiv we say when a lot of people are happy together. So what if it's a group of friends that are all happy? Do you say atov vameitiv? Well, the shtar is a chayli shonet mimenu. Or when you have a son, shuba. He says, "Lo bechol davar shenayanu vachirim emo varach atov vameitiv." No, not everything gets atov vameitiv. Shim Kain, because then on a new fruit, when you have guests, you should say Atov HaMeitiv and not Shecheyanu. That's not the way it works. Atov HaMeitiv is a specific type of a bracha. Ela b'davar sheyesh lo to'elet v'hana'a bo'ol acherim imo. Certain types of things that you enjoy in other people. So, like having wine together as a group. So when you bring out a second bottle of wine, not when you finish the first, but you bring out 2 new bottles of wine, so you say Atov HaMeitiv. But it's not any type of hana'a. It's certain types of hana'a. Vavana bilvad riyat panim chadashim lo matzinim. Shim kein, lama shalu bil yolda ishto zachar, man ika achena ba'adev. Amru tatam nami ika ishto ba'adev. Teba glei mishum b'nei veito v'anav. He said, I'll prove it to you. Because the Gemara focuses on saying Atov HaMeitiv for your son because you and your wife are happy. But even if your wife isn't there, even if she doesn't know, right? The whole family's happy. It must be. No, good fault. Vafilu hakol ne'anim b'leidat hazcharim. Even if everyone is happy to have boys. Elosha na to'ele kamar. It's a specific type of joy.
Ready to pair.
No, good fault. Uveleidat ishto zachar. Yesh la'avaleim le'eim hana to'elet. And the specific type of benefit that you get when you have a son. So with this Rashba in mind, the Be'er Halacha writes, Ayin ve'el yirab v'shev yishem sefer chasidim do'en nek shlo v'no v'vito ben ok shno l'ben lo avosh v'tadik v'chasid. You can make a bracha when you have a grandchild. Amnam l'fi ma she'ra'iti b'shuvat ha'Rashba. Based on the Rashba, mukhach the paligal zeh. The Rashba thinks it's not true. Shemasik sham de'lav v'chol davar shenen ehu v'achirim imov shivarei chatov v'ameitiv. That not for everything do you make Atov HaMeitiv. Skipping down, right, he quotes the whole Rashba. It's only for something that has to'elet. It's a certain type of benefit. Right, and therefore it is limited to certain types of benefit. So therefore, he's not willing to expand Atov HaMeitiv, right? So the Mishnah Berurah, first of all, has the Rashba in the back of his mind, where the Rashba says Atov HaMeitiv is only on certain types of joy. And therefore, you can't just expand it to daughters. But, what about Shecheyanu? So the Netziv had made the claim that you don't even say Shecheyanu. Why not? Because according to the Agadah, having boys are better. But the Mishnah Berurah says, you do say Shecheyanu. Look at 6. It seems that no matter how many boys you have, even if you have the girl, you don't say Atov HaMeitiv. But second line, Mikol Makom, nearly Pashut, Pam Rishon Kshorot, Amavarach Brechat Shecheyanu. But he says, you do say Shecheyanu. Why? Because you say Shecheyanu even if you see a friend for the first time in 30 days. Seeing your daughter for the first time is at least as joyous as seeing a friend for the first time in a month. And therefore, Shecheyanu you do say. So, let's do for a moment a meta-analysis here, okay? The Netziv says you don't say Shechenu or Atov HaMeitiv. Why? It seems to be he has an objective understanding, which is that you don't feel joy, or you shouldn't maybe feel the same type of joy, because the Agadot tell you, they have a statement about the relative value of men over women. What does the Mishnah Berurah do? Mishnah Berurah tries to pull a very fascinating methodological compromise. Right? What's his methodological compromise? I won't let you say Atova Meitiv. Why? Because Atova Meitiv is not about all joy. It's about specific types of joy sanctioned by the Talmud. And therefore, since the Rajbari tells us that not every type of joy gets Atova Meitiv, just because I happen to feel happy doesn't justify saying Atova Meitiv for a daughter. But he wants to, in some way, give a nod to the fact that that's not true to his reality. So what does he say? Say Shechayanu. Because Atov HaMeitiv is a much more formal bracha. So that, if I think the Gemara says don't say it, I can't tell you to say it. But Shechayanu, which is about your personal joy, he's already recognizing that people do feel joy when they have their daughters, and therefore says, say the subjective bracha of Shechayanu. Now, if I asked you, methodologically speaking, which is actually more novel? Saying the position we haven't seen yet, that you actually say Atova Meitiv on daughters, and claiming that Atova Meitiv is just about good news, or inventing this category that Mishnah Berurah says, which is, it's not the type of joy that gets Atova Meitiv, but it is the type of joy that gets Shechayanu, because it's no less joyous than seeing a friend for the first time in 30 days. Which is actually more methodologically, I don't know, ambitious. What do you think? I'm not sure, right? Because on the one hand, one of them is saying, look, one is making the move and saying, look, the Gemara says you say it on Zachar, but it also says you make it on good news. That leads the possibility to mean it's anything. So in a certain sense, it follows the logic of the Gemara, but on the other hand, the Gemara doesn't say it. The Chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah is that he takes Atova Meitiv very literally in the Gemara, but he invents a category that doesn't appear anywhere. Now, if I asked you, let's move 100 years after the Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah is already pretty accepted as a posek. Which is more mechudash, to say you should say Atova Meitiv, or say you should say Shechayanu? So here it gets messy, because remember we've talked about that in Psak, there's analysis of the primary sources, and then there's precedent. 100 years after the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah gets the status of precedent. Everybody cares about what the Mishnah Berurah says. So if you want to be a traditionalist, in terms of a precedent posek, you can get away by saying, oh, say Shechayanu, because the Mishnah Berurah says it, even though it's quite novel. Right? But if you are a Gemara posek, right, you could ignore the Mishnah Berurah and say, look, nobody explicitly said you can't say the bracha on your daughter until 200 years ago. Right? They didn't explain, right? Maybe they just didn't weigh in on it, or maybe it was a sociological category, and in their time, they, you know, practically, they felt more joy for a son over a daughter, but we don't, and therefore we'll just go back to the original sources, how we understand it, and we'll say you can make the bracha on the daughter. Right? If you're a precedent posek, you're going to be afraid, because in the last 200 years of precedent, any voice who spoke on it, what did they say? Either don't say Atova Meitiv and don't say Shechayanu like the Netziv, or don't say Atova Meitiv but say Shechayanu like the Mishnah Berurah. But none of them say Atova Meitiv. But if you're a go back to the original sources and reassess it and maybe plug it into a modern reality posek, right? Because remember, we said there's two things. One is analyzing the sources, then there's application. And we said in this case, it's not just important to know what the Gemara says, but to know how people actually feel and react. So you might be ready to just go back and say, look, we think that daughters are equivalent to sons. That's how people experience it. The Gemara can plausibly be read in that way. So let's paskin that way. So what I gave you here is a summary of some modern poskim. So what options do we have now in the 21st century? One possibility methodologically is to say, you know what? Let's go in extreme of the Netziv. The Gemara seems to say you don't say Atova Meitiv. no one ever mentioned Shefayanu before the Mishnah Berurah. There are many Aganato that make it sound like sons are better than daughters. You want to tell me that you don't feel that way? That's modern feminism. That's just wrong. You don't have Torah values, right? That's one extreme. Okay? Not one I identify with. But we have to acknowledge, methodologically, a rejectionist, traditionalist point of view would say, look, the Gemara says Zachar, no one explicitly says daughter. All the Achronim that talk about it say you don't say Atova Meitim on daughter, and the earlier Achronim say you don't even say Shecheyanu. And I can take a Gadata that will tell me that daughters are worth less than men, and if I take a rejectionist view, and I don't care what, you know, modernity says, and I don't care about those values, so I have no problem just saying reject it. So, again, disclaimer for the 1,000th time, I do not hold the position I'm about to read, but we have to admit that methodologically this is an option. Look at 9, the Mishnah Halachot, Rav Menashe Klein, who in general has very surprising and often problematic positions, this is not the only time, writes, Mikol makom le'inyan birchat shechayanu lo tiknu chazal. De chazal echlitu lanu she'en ze simcha. This is quite harsh. You don't even say Shecheyanu. You know why? Because Chazal tell us what's joyous. And this isn't joyous. It's like being happy that you have to take medicine. You're happy that you won't be sick, but it's not something you're fundamentally happy about. Even though you're happy you have medicine, you wouldn't say Shecheyanu. Could you rather not be ill? And then he says, going 3 lines from the bottom, and he says, therefore, Kevan shechazal echlitu shebeetzem udavar shelo tova velo bracha. So therefore, Chazal decided that having girls is not good. It's not a blessing. They said, woe to he who has daughters. So therefore, of course you don't make a bracha. Not Shecheyanu, because having daughters is like swallowing bitter medicine. It makes you better. You need to have daughters. There need to be girls in the world. But you know, it's not a good thing. Necessary evil. That's actually what he says. Okay? I can't. Can you hear me without this? Okay, fine. So just leave it. Right? That is, we have to admit that that is one approach. It's a rejectionist approach, right? It's an approach that looks to rely on only the literal words in the precedent, take a very limited view of the original text, because he's convinced of a certain worldview that he thinks emerges from Chazal that we saw last week, might or might not, but he doesn't care. He's not, and lest you think that this is a one-off for him, it's not. Right, he has many tshuvot where he just says, oh, you don't like the bracha of shalos ani'isha? What's the problem? Women are lesser than men. Of course you make a bracha of shalos ani'isha. But he's very consistent about this. Now, to be fair, it's not just women he says things like that about. It's about pretty much everyone. Right? He has tshuvot about you can't marry gerim or their descendants because, you know, then the shechina is in Sharon Yisrael and you should daven for mamzerim or people with different physical ailments to die because why should they live? Like, he's... Rav Schechter is very public in YU about the fact he really doesn't like his tshuvot, and often just nicknames is not the Mishnah Halachot, but the Mishaneh Halachot, right, the person who changes the law, right, he's not, so I'm not passing this way, but it is an approach. All the way to the other extreme, are many poskim who say, look, I have a very traditionalist way of saying that you say Atova Meitiv, and that is, the Gemara said Zachar, but it also said you make Atova Meitiv on good news in general. Second of all, we didn't go through this, but the Rambam doesn't mention that you say Atova Meitiv for children at all. So some poskim say, well, why doesn't the Rambam mention it? It's a Gemara. So what's their answer? The Gemara was giving you examples. It wasn't giving you an exhaustive list. The Gemara said, if you hear good news, you say about Tova Meitiv. It gave an example. If you have a son. But it was an example. That's all it was. And If you have a son, and that's good news, you say atam ameitiv. If you have a daughter, you say atam ameitiv. It's good news. Good news is good news is good news. The Gemara gave you an example. And there's no reason to believe that men are different than women. So look all the way at the end. Look at, for example, 11. This is from Rabinovich. Rabinovich died in the summer. He was at the time, the most senior Rosh Yeshiva in the Dat Yilumi world, or Nachum Rabinovich, or Rabinowitz, whatever you want. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Birkat Moshe, or Mala Adumim. Before that, he was, let's see if the local person who lives near where his previous job was knows. Before that, he was the rabbi of Clanton Park Synagogue in Toronto. That's where he got his PhD in applied mathematics at U of T. He also lived in London. He was at Jewish College, whatever it's called. But yes, he was in Toronto for many years. Before that, he's originally Montreal, I think. I think he's Montreal. Maybe. So he wrote a Perush on the Rambam, Yad Pshut, and he writes, now you can also find a more popularized version of this in the First Orthodox Forum that Rabbi Jonathan Sacks said he, when he had his daughter, he asked for Rabinovich, and this is the answer he gave, but this is his, as it is in a print, he writes, Yesh makshim lama hishmit Rabbeinu abreita shum b'gmara. Why did the Rambam leave out the case of Amrulo yaldaishto zachar omer baruch atov ameitiv? Why doesn't it say, why doesn't the Rambam mention that if you have a daughter, you say atov ameitiv? So he says, very simple. Skip down to the fourth line, v'nireh. Sh'rabbeinu mifareish delav milto de psikoi. Because it's not giving you an exhaustive list. If the husband and wife want a boy, so they say atov ameitiv when they have a boy. Oh, yishtecheyin she'ishto rotzeh yoter nekevavet, and lo yirech atov ameitiv. But if you wanted a son and your wife wanted a daughter, so then only one of you is thrilled, so then you wouldn't say atov ameitiv. V'gam av yeshenov lo yoter avadeh, if the father wanted a daughter, so then we saw already in the Gemara that there were some people who liked boys more and some who wanted girls more, right? We saw there was a machloket. It's subjective. And therefore, lefiza nimtza shem gama av gama em rotzim pibad yoter. So if the son and if the father and mother both wanted a daughter more, as yesh marech adov ha-meitim al-abad. Udinim noch lem gam bezu kamo bezat. So he says, if you wanted a girl more than a boy, make adov ha-meitim. And if you don't care, boy or girl, you're equally happy. So say atov ameitiv, it was an example. So Rabinovich says, you know what, the whole Gemara is subjective. When you hear good news, what's good news? I don't know. For some people, they have a son, and only a son. For some people, it's a daughter, and only a daughter. And for some people, they love their sons equally for their daughters. Some people have 10 sons, so they want a daughter already, right? Some, you know, like, sometimes it's, you know, like there were so, you know, the number of people who told me when found out we're having twins, I hope you have girls, because like you already have three boys, like another two boys, that's like, you know, that's a, you know, whatever, there are reasons that you want one. You know, the rabbi of Alon Shvut, we'll see his tshuva in a second, he had seven girls and then he had twin girls, right? So he had nine girls, right? So at some point, you know, you understand, he wanted a son, right? Two girls after seven girls, I mean, you're happy you have kids, but like, you know. But basically, his point is, Harishas dinzem mishtaneh lefia nesibot. What's his rule? This depends on circumstances, and therefore, what's his methodological approach? The whole halacha to begin with was not about sons versus daughter; it was about good news, and therefore, it is socially dependent. Which not even socially dependent; it depends on you. You wanted a boy more. Hatova meitiv on a boy and not on a girl. You want a girl more? Hatova meitiv on a daughter and not a son. You just want a kid and you're equally happy whatever child you have as long as the child is healthy. So say hatova meitiv whatever you have. It's socially dependent. It never meant boy to the exclusion of anything else. These are socially dependent halacha. So therefore, what does it depend on? You. And I would add, therefore, if historically people wanted sons more than daughters, okay, so they probably made hatova meitiv on boys and not girls. But that's not a fundamental claim. And therefore, if in modernity most people are equally happy, or it depends on how many children they already have of each of the sexes, so then, whatever makes you happy, you say a bracha on it. Right? That's it. If you turn back to the source here, I don't know why I didn't number it, but between 9 and 10, I gave you two more moderns. I gave you Benny Lau, who used to be the rabbi of the Ramban Shul, is on the liberal spectrum of Israeli Dati Lumi Orthodoxy, and then 10, Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon, who is the rabbi of Alon Shvut Darom. They both have pieces on this, so I'm going to run through their takes here. So, Rabbi Lau says as follows. He's also cousins with the chief rabbi. He quotes the Mishnah Brura, who says you should say Shechayanu. Okay, he summarizes a lot of what we've seen. He quotes the Rajba. Let me get to his main point for our purposes. Okay, let's just look at his last two paragraphs. Look towards the end. E.F. Charlie Talain, Miyachasak Lalisha La Chevra, Laholadit Bat. Ba'amimayim Litim Gamiz Manazah. He said, this halacha, to understand it, you just can't escape the way socially people look at daughters. He Talmud Be'abracha Laholadit Bat, Navami Rosh Rishonam, Makom Shishatav Sabalam. The reason that people used to not say Atova Meitiv on daughters, because he said, I don't know what the Gemara meant, but historically it's clear that people didn't do it. We see all these Achronim who say, don't make Atova Meitiv on daughters. He said, why do they say that? Because that's the world viewed women. But Shinui Mikomash Elisha Bechevra Mevi Bechrech LeShinui Biachas Echevra LeDad Bat. But if society changes and now you relate to women differently, so therefore, Yair Al Kach Hatzrach Amitish Meshachol Rabbo Letzayin It LeDad Bat Betekas Chilufi LeBrit Mila. So I'll prove it to you. How many people nowadays that they didn't feel this need 100 years ago feel a need to come up with some sort of celebration when they have daughters, because they know when you have a son, you have a Brit. For a daughter, they come up with a Zevet Habat, right? It's become like a religious thing to have a kiddush for your daughters. Right? Why do people feel that need to find a way to celebrate? Because they feel joy. They feel equal joy with their daughters and sons. Let me start hierarchy. I'm not sure I pronounced that right in Hebrew. Barak Bavar. So nowadays, there isn't this hierarchy of boys over girls. Right? Anybody should look at their own hearts. So if parents want to say Atova Meitiv, do it. Right? And he explicitly says, right? The Rabbi Rabinovich just says this was always subjective. Rabbi Lau acknowledges, right, meaning it's implicit in what Rabinovich says, but Rabbi Lau takes it head on and says, yeah, this is a halacha that changes. Because if it's about how you feel, people feel differently. And therefore, in society, if people now treat their girls and boys equally, either because of feminism or because the benefits that used to have to boys, like you were a farmer and you wanted someone who was better in the field, and that doesn't exist anymore, so then you have to respect the changes. And halacha will change accordingly. Rav Rimon 10 says, Kol simchata levav abala adam itobara lamazeh chayev levarech aleh. Any happy thing in this world, you have to make a bracha. When you and someone else join together in it, you say Atova Meitiv. So then he quotes that the Aruch HaShulchan says you don't say Atova Meitiv or Shechayanu on a daughter. The Mishnah Brura says that you say Shechayanu. So look down at the third paragraph, turn to the last page, and where it says Ulufiza Madua Lo Yivarech Atova Meitiv. He says, look, so why in the end of the day do the early poskim not say Atova Meitiv for a daughter? It is joyous. So he says the Mishnah Brura claims that, well, not every joy gets Hatova Meitiv. But he says, okay, but Lemaisa, he says, Nir Esh, Eish Lavarech L'chol Pachot Shechayanu L'Dabai. He says, first of all, I think you should definitely at least say Shechayanu. Ach Gam L'Eitra L'Eil Aroksim Lavarech Hatova Meitiv, but you want to say Hatova Meitiv? It makes a lot of sense. Why? Because he said, first of all, Reishit, the Gemara Shulchan Aruch Kamur Ink V'Amu Fresh Lo LaSotzot. Shulchan Aruch never says don't. The Gemara never says don't. Shenit too is Mitziut Shel Yameinu Ink Safek Shegam v'ulai b'ikar abanot v'seat la'rim b'ejadzika natam. He said, nowadays, people appreciate their daughters as much and often more than their sons. Because, right, how many people say, I'd rather have daughters, because when I get old, the daughters will help me. My sons will abandon me, right? once they're out of the house, they're out, right? I've heard many people say that. V'imkach gamli datan yishtolet l'shne'orim. So there's a benefit, right? Even a unique benefit. V'nosaf agrachanaya. And he says, not everybody agrees with the Be'er Halacha's reading in the Rashba, and maybe Shecheyenu and Atov HaMeitiv really are on all joys. But he said, yeah, historically maybe there were people who didn't appreciate their daughters as much, for whatever socially dependent reason. Ulam kayom. But now people are joyous. Just like with a son. So therefore you should say Atova Meitiv. Now, it shouldn't escape you that all the poskim I've just read all identify with the Dati Lumi world, which is Israel's sort of equivalent of modern Orthodoxy. And if I don't think it would surprise you if you had to guess, poskim or more of not that world probably don't poskim this way, which is indeed the case in this particular instance. So if you look, for example, the Netziv, sorry, the Tzitzel Yezer, when Rav Moshe Feinstein in 7 and 8, the Tzitzel Yezer, who's sort of a borderline figure, quotes, first he quotes the Netziv, Rak Mimdeh and Netziv, Lo Ram Yizun Poskim Chozer, Linemek, Letzad Hasheni. The Netziv said, maybe you don't even say Shecheyanu, because in certain Agadot it sounds like daughters are bad. He says, I don't think that's convincing. To be fair, the Netziv himself only says maybe. Second of all, even if you found Agadot that implied that daughters are less than boys, you know, paskin based on Agadot. And he said, even if we do, the Agadot, they aren't necessarily making an objective statement. It's because of some of the fears. How much am I going to have to pay for the dowry? Right? It could just be socially dependent, even if you found it in the Agadot. And therefore, and he quotes the Eishel Avram. And he says, if you skip to his last paragraph, he said, look, it's true. The poskim say, don't say Atova Meitiv, so don't. But I think you should follow the Mishnah Berurah and say Shecheyanu. The lo shayach lomer v'zeh savik brachot la'akel. It doesn't make sense to say savik brachot la'akel. Shalom arach ha'safik. And that you shouldn't make on a safik. Because Shecheyanu is, as the Bach notes, is much more subjective to begin with. It's on your subjective joy. And therefore, if you have joy, Shecheyanu is definitely a safe bet. Rav Moshe Feinstein as well says, I disagree with the Aruch HaShulchan. I think you can make Shecheyanu because you're happy, right? You're happy. And maybe the only reason you don't say, right, that's what I made, as he said, because of all the monetary obligations that come with having daughters, dowries, and the like. Okay. So, let's summarize what we've seen so far, okay? We saw last week, again, that based on the primary, right, let's go through our methodology. Based on the primary sources, it says son, but on the other hand, the principle in the Gemara is good news, right? So, you could say it only means son, but if you wanted to say that, you either do that because you read it very narrowly or because you have a pre-conviction that Chazal preferred sons over daughters. You could say it's just about good news, in which case this question never opened. You could always say Atova Meitiv about daughters. Or you could say, no, the Gemara really said Atova Meitiv for sons only, but that was societally, that was socially dependent. Right? And that was because in many of the Agadot, yes, people preferred sons, but maybe that's not an objective statement. Moving to precedent, no one says anything for hundreds of years. Then, in the Achronim, you get a few Achronim who say, you don't say Atova Meitiv. And some who say you don't say Atova Meitiv or say Shecheyanu. And then you have the Mishnah Berurah who says, well, you don't say Atova Meitiv because that's a very formally limited bracha. But you do have joy, and you need to respond to that, so you say Shecheyanu. Then you move to the modern period, right? Like now. And what do you get, methodologically? You have some post-Kamusim book. In primary sources, it says some. In terms of precedent, many of the Acharim say, don't say Adav HaMeitiv. Some of them say, even don't say Shecheyanu. The values component here, doesn't that imply daughters are less? Well, if you have no problem rejecting what people actually feel and rejecting modernity, like the Mishnah Halachot, then what's your answer? You're right. Don't say Adav HaMeitiv, don't say Shecheyanu. They in fact are less. You have a problem with that? Too bad, right? You have been influenced by modernity, right? You're wrong, because I'll actually value them differently. But then you have two very different approaches. You have the Mishnah Brura who says, look, I feel stuck in Atov HaMeitiv because precedent tells me it's very limited, and the way I read the original sources and precedent, you can't say Atov HaMeitiv. But on the other hand, I recognize that there's real joy. Compromise position, don't say Atov HaMeitiv, say Shecheyanu. Which on the one hand is traditional in the sense that it's very traditionalist in following precedent strictly for Atov HaMeitiv, but it's a chiddush because no one has ever suggested you say Shecheyanu. He's the first one to say it, and he's living in the 20th century. Then you have poskim who are, in a certain sense, more mechudash, because they say, even though it always says son, it never meant son, it just meant child, because the principle is good news. And therefore, any implication in the Gemara that you would prefer sons over daughters is at best socially dependent, and what should guide you nowadays is, what do people feel? How does society feel? How do the parents feel? And if they feel like they want to say Atov HaMeitiv, so then they should say it. And even though this is a very narrow halacha, again, first of all, you see that people are arguing along the axes of how do I understand the primary sources? How seriously do I take precedence of the last 200 years? Right? And how do I apply it to reality? And do I allow reality that I understand is influenced by changes in modernity to the way we view women, to what women do in society? How do I incorporate that into halacha, especially one that could be explained as subjective? Certain posts can run away from it because they're, right, like the Mishnah Halacha, and others embrace it. What I printed out for you, and again, I'm not going to read through all of this, is from an article by Ron Khoury, where he basically takes all of these and makes a meta-analysis. Do you get both parts? Do you get the article part here? Okay, this is part of a 55-page article. I'm not going to read even the whole thing that I gave you, but this is the sikkum of the halacha, because I think it's a very fair analysis. Okay, so he notes, right, and I'm just going to run through these outside, but here you have a summary. He says, let's take a step back and analyze the way modern poskim have dealt with the shiloh. So first he quotes Rav Aviner. Rav Aviner says, indeed, you don't say Atov HaMeitiv on daughters. But, why not? So here's his chiddush. He says that maybe Atov HaMeitiv is only a bracha you make on very physical joys and not more spiritual joys. And the reason, therefore, Chazal said Atov HaMeitiv on sons was because sons helped you work. And therefore, it's not that you had less joy when you had a daughter, it's just that they didn't help you in the field. And therefore, the bracha was instituted on boys. But it says nothing about the value of boys versus girls, so you don't say Atov HaMeitiv. But which bracha reflects how much we value our children? Shecheyanu. And therefore, Rav Aviner says, you don't say Atov HaMeitiv, but you say Shecheyanu. And therefore, what is his approach to the sources and modernity? He says, I'm going to go back to the sources, explain why they actually mean son, but deny the implications that there's a preference of boys over girls, and I'm going to say that the difference is that Shecheyanu is the bracha that actually reflects our valuation of boys versus girls, and there's an equivalence. Atov HaMeitiv talks about how likely it is that the kid will help me on the farm. Okay. That's more likely to be boys than girls. Okay, technicality. Then he says that if you want to summarize modern poskim, you can divide them. Right? He says, first of all, there are the poskim who think methodologically you should, in order to find the answer to this question, you should synthesize not just the halachic data, but the agadic data. Meaning, this bracha is a reflection of Torah values. It's not about your subjective values. It's about objectively what does the Torah think about men or women. And the answer to that comes from the Agadah. But he notes that within that camp, you could come to two different conclusions. Right? The Mishnah Halachot took the approach that this bracha is in fact a reflection of the value that Chazal give to men versus women. But which Agadot does he focus on? A very extreme read that tells you men are greater than women and therefore says never make the bracha. That's the Netziv as well. On the other hand, as we already noted when we went through the Agadot, you could say, yeah, the Agadot are important, but remember, Rabinovich quoted the same thing to prove what? That it's subjective. Because he noted that there are some people in Chazal who say, I like my sons better, and others who say, I prefer daughters. So Rabinovich also thought that the answer methodologically should be going to Chazal, looking at their objective value question, but what answer did he have? Not what the Mishnah Halacha, which is, aha, Chazal care about boys more than girls. What was his answer? You see that there's an equivalence, because even in Chazal, there were people who preferred sons and people who preferred daughters. That proves that it's socially dependent, and the answer is whatever you're happy with. Then he notes that there are some poskim who weigh in on whether you should say it or whether you can say it. And he said most of the poskim who say you can say it on Tova Meitiv, they only say you can, but not that you must. Why? Because the most likely the way to say that you can say Atov HaMeitiv on daughters is by recognizing it as a bracha on your subjective experience. That saying it's a bracha on subjective experience, on what you consider good news, on the one hand, opens it up to being about boys and girls, but on the other hand, as Rabinovich says, depends on how you actually feel. So if you prefer, but that leads to Rabinovich's radical chiddush, that if you prefer sons, you would say Atov HaMeitiv, and not if you had a daughter, but if you prefer daughters, then you would say Atov HaMeitiv only on girls and not on boys. And if you don't care what you have, then you would say Atov HaMeitiv on any child that you have. And then he says, what you have to remember is that the elephant in the room, as we've said 100 times, is that, yes, we could, if you wanted, boil this sugya down to how do you read the original Gemara? How do you read precedent? How do you read Mishnah Levit? But let's be honest. A lot of what drives the way people read the sugya is the way they understand the status of women in society. The poskim, like the Mishnah Halachot, coming from a Hasidish background, where in general he has no problem saying that women are of lesser status, he's going to end up reading the sugya in a way that reflects that. That's not the world of Rabbi Rabinovich and Rabbi Lau and Rav Rimon. For them, it would be odd if Halacha, in fact, objectified a difference between men and women and said you should be less happy about men or women. And poskim from that world are not going to take reads like that because it doesn't resonate with their reality. And even the Mishnah Brura or Moshe Feinstein, Tzitz Eliezer, they're like somewhere in between. They, on the one hand, are formalists and are willing to say, okay, maybe Atov HaMeitiv is unique, but in terms of their subjective experience, they feel like having daughters is a joyous thing. And therefore, he notes that someone who's totally rejectionist of feminism and the notion that men and women might be equal, like Menashe Klein, is going to say, of course you didn't say Atov HaMeitiv. But Dati Lumi Poskim, who really feel like, no, you should feel the same joy, right? Or it's definitely plausible that you would, depending on, you know, how many kids you have of each sex, right? They are going to be most likely to say, of course, Hatova Meitiv, or is a bracha that you would say, even on your daughters. And he notes many other poskim who go in this direction, Moshe Levi and others. And he also notes, as I said, that there are some poskim who are very much in the Dati Lumi world, like his own Rebbe, Rav Shurlo, who also tends to find himself on the left side of the spectrum, who says, actually, who poskins, you say, Shechayanu and not Atov HaMeitiv. And his argument is as follows. I really feel like you should say Atov HaMeitiv, but I'm bound to precedent. And the Mishnah Berurah says, Shechayanu. So I think you should say Shechayanu. Now, what Ron Khoury notes is, on the one hand, that's coming from a posek who, on the one hand, values men and women equally, but it feels constrained by precedent. And therefore he says Shechayanu, but he says the truth is that that's not quote-unquote the safest position. Because if it was like precedent that was found in the Rambam and the Ramban and the Rajba and the Rif, that'd be one thing. But the first time anyone says Yishei Shechayanu instead of Etov HaMeitiv is the 20th century. Right? And he says it's strange to say that it's a safer bet to go with the Mishnah Berurah and say Shechayanu than to go with Rabinovich and just say the Gemara said good news and therefore Hatov HaMeitiv is the proper bracha. And that reveals something about a posek, which is that when they interpret precedent, where are they looking? Not like at the totality of sources. They're talking about modern precedent. Right? Certain people do feel constrained by modern precedent, but it's actually, don't let it trick you. In a certain sense, while that move may seem traditional, there's a novelty in it because the Mishnah Berurah is writing the 20th century and he's the first person to ever say Shechayanu. Rav Rabinovich and Rav Rimon and Rav Elau are saying, no, it's true that the Gemara said son, but it meant daughter, it meant child. Right? Which on the one hand, nobody said it explicitly, but on the other hand, it's a traditional perspective in the sense, you're saying, look, the Gemara said good news. Good news is whatever good news is. I gave you this analysis, you can read it more in depth if you want. But again, to reflect on this, like I said, this is a very small issue halachically. Right? It's one sif in Shulchan Aruch. Okay? But I think it's an important one, because as I said, first of all, it's one that really, I think, challenges modern people. Because we really, for better or for worse, but I would argue for better, right, have been affected by the belief that human beings, whether they're male or female, are equal. And that you should be happy when you have sons or daughters. And therefore, a halacha that looks like it doesn't say that challenges our sensibilities. And therefore, even though it's a brachot question, which we normally don't think of as a modern question, it really is. And in this case, as I said, it's one of the few women's issues, which I put in air quotes, right? Which is not really a women's, right? It's not a women's issue, right? Because, right? This is also the father of daughter's issue. Meaning, this is a question of how do you relate to society, right? This is equally a question for me as it is for any of you, right? I had to decide in the delivery room, am I going to say no bracha at all? Am I going to say Shechayanu or am I going to say Atov HaMeitiv? Right? I had to decide, what am I comfortable with? Right? And what reflects both my experience and my understanding of the halacha? And what were my choices? Right? I had a group of poskim who say, look, the Gemara says Zachar, so the safe bet is only if you have a son. And you think that you should be equally happy for your daughter? No! There are these agadot that say that sons are better. But that worldview didn't resonate with me. Right? And when I read the agadot, as we said, it's not necessarily compelling to read the agadot either. So that was out of the question, right? That was not something that resonated. That's not my world. What were the two live options? There's the Mishnah Berurah, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Avi Ner, who say, look, in terms of objective things, of course, men are not better than women. But maybe Hatov HaMeitiv is unique bracha, because men could work in the field. I don't come up with whatever reason, we saw men. But obviously, you need to find a way to express how you really feel. And we call that Shechayanu. The benefit of that position is I could hide behind the Mishnah Berurah. Right? I could hide behind the person who, for better or for worse, has become the 20th century mega precedent. Right? Normally you say, I'm following Mr. Burr, no one will challenge you. They'll say, oh, Mr. Burr says it, that's law. Right? That's the benefit. The downside is that, in terms of actually reading the sources, it appears for the first time in the 20th century, and there's no way of reading that into earlier sources. The other downside is that it forces me to read the Gemara as saying, Atova Meitiv isn't on good news. It's a very type of specific good news which applies to boys but not girls, even though I have to like do mental gymnastics to figure out why I'm happier in the Hatova Meitiv sense that I had boys and not girls. Or I could go the direction of Rav Rabinovich and Rav Rimon and Rav Elau and say, look, the Gemara said you say the Brach Hatova Meitiv on good news. So it said boy, but maybe that was just an example. What's the evidence that it's an example? Because you look through the Agadata, and the Agadata, as much as it tells you people preferred sons, it tells you that people preferred daughters. And even when it tells you that people preferred daughters, there's good reason to believe that it's not an objective statement. And the Rambam never mentions it. So it's probably just about good news. And my experience of life is that I was equally happy when I had my daughters, I had my sons. And to be fair, right, after having three boys, and after all the scares that often come with a pregnancy of twins, right, having two healthy girls, I was happier, right? It was more relief, right? There weren't the same scares with my boys as there were with my daughters. So that was the choices, right? It was, do I take into account my belief about what the Torah says about men versus women? My, call it socially dependent reality, where I don't feel differently about boys and girls. Do I take into the account my subjective feelings of joy? And am I willing to take that into account and look at the source and say, you know what, I really do believe the Gemara was just giving an example. And therefore, my reality is that I feel the same joy when I have my daughters as I do my sons, and I'm going to say Atov HaMeitiv, even if no one explicitly said I was allowed to do that until the 20th century, or even 21st century. Right, so at the end of the day, it is a balance of precedent, and rereading the Gemara and figuring out what you think it means, and seeing, interpreting the reality, both the social reality of Chazal, our social reality, and your own emotional reality. Right? So again, what was my calculus. Now, when I had my daughters, my calculus was, you know what? I think Rabbi Nachman is right. I think this bracha is subjective. Right? It's personally dependent. I don't believe that the Gemara has a fundamental belief that men are greater than women. Right? At best, I'm willing to say that the Gemara felt that in its time people preferred boys to girls. Okay, I'm willing to believe that. Maybe. But there are other voices in Chazal, and voices identify with me. The ones that say, right, I'm as happy with my sons as my daughters, and my daughters as my sons. And yes, in the end of the day, I was convinced that which is more traditional? Is it the Mishnah Berurah? To say, look, the Mishnah Berurah is the Mishnah Berurah, so the fact that he's the first person to ever say, Shecheyanu, I'll just go with that because that's safe, or do I say no? In the end of the day, Mishnah Berurah invented a new category in the 20th century, and Rabbi Rabinovich, even though no one ever said it explicitly, is traditionalist in the sense that he thinks the halacha was always personal. And if it was always personal, then all you're doing is going back to the category, and you're not reinterpreting the original category. What are you doing? You're just honestly assessing how you feel at that moment. And if I feel differently than people might have 1,500 years ago, it's the same halacha, it's just a different reality on the ground. It's how I feel, not how they felt. In the end of the day, I was convinced that that, on balance, was the best read of the sugya, and in a certain sense, even more traditionalist than following the Mishnah Berurah, because Mishnah Berurah may be super precedent in the 20th century, but in the end of the day, coming up with a different bracha to say on daughters over sons, which only appears in the 20th century, rather than just saying this bracha was probably always socially dependent, and therefore what matters is how do I feel? What is the reality of the world I live in? I found that to be the most compelling. Right, so that was the bracha I made. Right? I said Atov HaMeitiv. We both said Atov HaMeitiv. Right? We both said, was that your question? Yes, we both said Atov HaMeitiv. Right? You know, I knew I was going to say Atov HaMeitiv. I didn't know whether, you know, Ora would be in a state at that point to say Atov HaMeitiv, but thank God it was an, you know, easy delivery, so we were both at the state where we said Atov HaMeitiv right after they were born. Right? As soon as the doctors took them and said they're healthy, they're breathing, right? We said Atov HaMeitiv, right? That was the moment, I think, was the good, right? When it was considered good news, right? Because, you know, when you have a scary, right, delivery, because twins sometimes, you know, you have to, like, you know, they were doing an ultrasound during delivery because the birth of one can affect the heart rate of the other, right? So there's a very scary moment in which you're not going to say a bracha because you haven't yet gotten the good news, right? But as soon as both of them came out, right, and they said both of them are breathing, both of them are fine, right? So we both said Atov HaMeitiv. Okay? And like I said, I think it's a very important topic because as small as it is, right, you see it took us 2 weeks to do because it really speaks to modern sensibilities and the interaction between personal feelings and formal halachic categories in a way that most halachic don't. And I think is actually a good example of the different ways in which poskim will address the way they think halacha does or should relate to the differences between men and women. And I'll just add, this halacha, unlike the question of, you know, are men and women equally chayev in shofar, tefillah, matzah, davening, right? Those questions are not directly about, you know, value that you place on people. It's just not. It's about obligation. This is, for as much as this is a, you know, a less of a hot button issue, it's actually one where it does seem to directly focus on the question of halacha's valuation of men versus women. Right? So in a certain sense, it is much more frontally about the values than a lot of the other questions, which are the more hot button ones. Right? So I think it's important analyzing, because it does give us a good insight into way poskim take it. And again, as I said, my on record, my personal psak, my personal position that I've done in practice, b'shem u'malchut, was when my daughters were born, Ora and I both said hatova ametiv with no qualms. I said, you know, I told Ora, you know, having gone through it, I think this is the right psak, you know, and if you agree, then we'll both say hatova ametiv kachava. Okay, we are at time, so I'll leave you with that. If you're interested in more of the meta issues, like I said, you have the halachic analysis from Ron Khoury, or you can go online and get the full article, which is 55 pages, where he'll really go, he goes systematically to a lot of sources we didn't get to. Okay, we had a request for next week to do copyright law and intellectual property, so we'll go in a totally different direction, and we'll do that next week, because that is a fun topic and very, very different. Okay? Good.